with breaking news and political commentary from a public servant, serial entrepreneur, community leader, philanthropist, and American patriot, and a darn nice guy. It's time for the Grassroots Truthcast and your host, Gene Valentino.
Hi, friends. Gene Valentino, and welcome to another episode of Gene Valentino's Grassroots Truthcast. My guest to my right side is Mr. Bruce Lavelle. Bruce is a senior advisor for the Donald Trump during his 2016 and 2024 term of time. And now hopefully we'll pursue even more what he's going to be doing when Donald Trump takes his office again in 2024. Bruce, thank you for joining me here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, we're going to break for a quick commercial. We'll be back right after this with Bruce Lavelle. Hi, friends. Gene Valentino from the Grassroots Truthcast. You've got to join us not only for the great shows and entertainment and guests, but you got to join us because our sponsorship is growing. And it would mean a lot to them, not to mention me, if you come on board. And the one we're featuring this week is Luis Sanchez from The Cigar Shop. He owns a company called La Tradición Cubana. The Cigar Shop, Miami, Florida, since 1995. This Luis is really one heck of a guy. He's determined to manufacture cigars based on an unprecedented excellence in quality using old-fashioned Cuban methods. The cigar isn't always cheaper, but it is better. And if, like, you're drinking a fine wine, you got to have a fine cigar, look for Luis Sanchez at The Cigar Shop. He helped me find a nice Connecticut wrapper with a Nicaraguan blend. And this cigar has become not only my enjoyment, but this cigar has also become my brand and my marketing tool. If you notice up close, we've got a little label he's put on there for me. It's called, and that's my website, genevalentino.com. It's at the Grassroots Truthcast. Now, here's the deal. You go to thecubanshop.com, find the cigar you want, and Luis will throw in the labels for free. But you got to tell him Gene sent you. Tell Luis Gene sent you. The labels are free. These are $50 to $100 values based on the count. And you can get this to become part of your branding experiment. I'm using this with my guests on the Grassroots Truthcasts. This could be your brand on your product, your service, anywhere in the world. Look for Luis Sanchez at thecubanshop.com. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy your smoke. Hi, friends. Gene Valentino. Welcome back to another episode of Grassroots Truthcast. And welcome, Bruce, for joining me here today. We really have a lot to cover. You know, here it is, about 1 hour after April the 8th, one hour after an eclipse passing over our heads here. We're catching a fringe of it in Florida. And we got an eclipse going. We got all kinds of items going in the world scene and at the national level. I invited you on today because I wanted to talk about your background in Georgia, your exposure to some of the indictments under Donald Trump. Folks, he was involved with the small business administration. He was a business advocate for the FBA and an advisor. And I want to get into that. So, Bruce, take it away. Let's start first with your background. What are you doing in Georgia? And what's your role with Donald Trump?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Well, first off, I met him 34 years ago in Atlanta. Believe it or not, it was at a club. A really upscale nightclub. He was actually in town doing a fundraiser with his friend to raise money for single women with AIDS, believe it or not. They called it AIDS back then. I know, huh? So anyway, he was a celeb. And of course, way back then in 1990, of course, you know, 34 years later, here we are, you know, still on the stump for him. He did want to run earlier on when Obama had run, but then we said, nah, let's wait. And so got a call in 2012, 13, 14, and then 15. He says, hey, I'm in. I said, let's go. Let's do this. I'd like to get a business guy in office instead of the normal traditional folks, if you want to use that term. And so it took off like a whirlwind real quick. We traveled a lot in the early 15, June, July, August, September, October, November. Got to fly to a lot of different states and open a lot of rallies too for them. Did a lot of press, did a lot of national TV, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, BBC, you name it. I did them all. And so here we are in this journey. I have to be honest with you. I didn't think we were going to be doing this again. Hopefully we would have got through like two terms, you know, and I would have been like retiring, you know, at this time, but you know, but we've got all the team back together. We call them the 2015ers is what we call ourselves. And probably 98% of us, especially our coalition, is still back in the saddle and we're riding on to victory here in November.
But a lot of your background came out of Atlanta, came out of Georgia, and as a business leader with very successful companies, obviously Donald Trump picked up on that too. What I have most interesting to me is your background on the details of the attempted criminal prosecutions against Donald Trump that have been initiated in Georgia. Do you want to explain the how the whole Alvin Bragg issue, Letitia James issue in New York morphed into an Atlanta agenda?
Yeah. Well, it actually goes deeper in before that. I actually write for the Washington Times also as an opinion and a couple other Caller and Newsmax, a few others. And one I particularly wrote about recruiting woke warriors. And you can Google Bruce Lavelle, Washington Times, and check out that opinion article that I wrote. And basically, it's been a collaborative effort with a lot of special interests over the last several years that will go and identify certain DAs, certain city council members, certain mayors, especially in very dense urban cities, and put money behind them and get them to run for various offices. Fannie Willis was one. Letitia Peekaboo James was the other in New York. And of course, Alvin Bragg and even Mayor Lightfoot in Chicago, former mayor of Chicago, the mayor of D.C., the mayor of Oakland, the mayor of Los Angeles, many mayors throughout the Michigan area, Saginaw, Detroit, many of those. And so basically we ended up with Fannie Willis, who the special interest got behind her because if you're a DA, for example, and you raise $50,000, $100,000, you are golden. But these DAs are raising millions and millions of dollars. And to Fannie Willis's credit, 92%+ of her money came from outside of Fulton County. So that tells you the special interest that's played in this. So fast forwarding that, she was trying to pretty much get President Trump on the phone call, the famous phone call when President Trump called Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger said, "Hey, there's no way I lost. Go back and look. Go back and check, Brad. There's no way, blah, 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 blah." So they were able to twist it and find a grand jury that would coincide with them, which that in itself is very suspect in itself on how you get a grand jury to get an indictment on someone challenging and requesting ballots to be counted again. No quid pro quo, no threats. You better do this or else. But to twist it around and to get an indictment. And I thought about it. It's like, wow, there's not going to be able to do that. So this is all based on a phone call of President Trump. And anyone that tried to go challenge the election, the woke media like the AJC in Atlanta likes to use overturn the election and election the fake electors, et cetera. And so that's just a bunch of lies. But it's unfortunate they use that narrative to try to get an indictment. And of course, we're going to prevail out of it. The sad part of it is the other folks, the co-conspirators, if you want to use that term, that were indicted, that are going through a lot of money and resources trying to defend this, and they know it's wrong. You know, that's one thing about some of the DAs. They call it load your wagon. They'll throw something against the wall until they twist your arm until you say uncle. So that's pretty much their goal here, but. You know, it's in the appeals right now. They have a great legal team that's going to push this out. We know when, for example, the Supreme Court rules on this in April about presidential immunity and presidential power. This right here, in my opinion, will just take out Jack Smith and everything else on giving the president true presidential powers and presidential immunity, which he deserves and every future president would deserve, respectfully. Yeah, so that's kind of like where we're at in a nutshell.
Bruce, my question, which what perplexes me, and I think many of my friends, is there's what is it with Brad Raffensperger that that he did not did Donald Trump tell you why he didn't accommodate Donald Trump's request to at least inquire in a balanced way? I mean, this was the start of the issue going back.
Well, it goes with him and the governor. You know, it's one of those things. He's Secretary of State, and you know we were shut down, and his dumb butt, I'll use that word, allowed Zuckerbucks to go in a third-party agreement with CTE and put ballot boxes in DeKalb, Clayton, Fulton, and Gwinnett. And those have been ruled unconstitutional. You saw that. And then he even said, I'm not going to participate in races anymore. He actually came out with his own comment, Mark Zuckerberg. But this was under Brad's watch. And also the massive mail-in ballots. Now, you know, I grew up as a military kid. The absentee ballot was for the soldier or the incapacitated. It was never random thrown in the mailbox randomly. So he knew that it would be a complete egg on his face if they were allowed to go digging through him under his tenure or his leadership as Secretary of State. And that's my theory on him not wanting to go into it deep. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, he gets called out and he's part of the as you use the term, established crowd. He's not part of the America First crowd. He never liked President Trump, even when from 2016, you know, he's never stumped for him. He's never lifted a finger or anything. So that in itself didn't help, you know, obviously for us. But, you know, I'm very optimistic that, you know, I always say the truth is going to prevail. It's not our time. It's God's time. That's one thing I've learned as I got older. You know, my wife will testify to that. But, you know, we're going to get through this. You know, there's no way any Supreme Court or any high court is going to condemn someone for challenging and asking questions about an election. Now, granted,
but for it to have gone as far as it has and the ripple effect with these other jurisdictions piling on.
Yeah.
Talk to me about, if I use the term with you, the deep state, what has your inside exposure been to that, which has harmed Donald Trump and his family for that matter?
Yeah. Well, it's actually, I use the term pay to play. Now, pay to play, when people hear that term, they're like, oh, it's a talker. It's actually on both sides of the aisle. It's been entrenched for decades in the Republican side as well as the Democrat side. Most of Congress, not all, most of the Senate is controlled by high power special interest lobbyists as well as companies. And so this has been like, as you say, when you go to K Street, you have one firm that has 100 lawyers in there. And it doesn't matter who's in power. The firm is going to get the business no matter what, because it plays to the Democrats and Republicans. But the unfortunate part of that, there are a lot of elected officials that birth their seats through pay to play. And so when you use the term swamp, we didn't know we knew there was a swamp. We just didn't know it was this deep is what we ran into. And so the swamp runs in everything from local, city, county, state, federal government. And this is something that the America First movement's pushing, is trying to push and entice good, hardworking men and women to come serve without special interest. Do your two terms, recruit another person that has the same philosophies or principles, and encourage them to run in those seats and not let it be holding to special interest and big lobbying firms.
Amen. You said something that really rings a bell. You know, on my website, GeneValentino.com, what Bruce has just said, folks, ties into Gene's second Bill of Rights. And I've got 11 amendments I propose, sort of tongue in cheek, but they're serious. And one of them is what you just mentioned, term limits for not only the president, but for the senators and for the House of Representatives. And as you know, Bruce, not likely going to happen to have an elected official in Congress vote in an amendment to the Constitution to put term limits on themselves.
Oh, I know.
As Mitch McConnell said recently, we have term limits now. When they decide to get rid of me, they'll get rid of me. That's my term. But if I said to you, the Democrat Party, and I heard you make a comment recently about you were around for the moon landing. Well, so was I going way back.
And I watched it in school in elementary. I did. Yeah.
Same here. And the genesis of over those decades is this. It's not the same democracy. It's not the same republic. It's not the same Republican or Democrat Party. But I do predict, correct me if you think I'm wrong, I do predict a complete failure or a complete ending to the Democrat Party as we know it today on or before Donald Trump's reelection. What say you, yes or no?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And let's say that about the GOP and what I said earlier, the ones who enriched themselves and ones who's birthed their seats on pay to play. And there's a lot of, you mentioned one earlier in this, just a few minutes ago in the Senate. I know several of those guys. I know some of their big lobbying firms that tell them where they're going to vote. I think at the end of the day, I always like to call this the Great Reformation is what we're going through. The control, alt, delete. It's never comfortable in big change anyway, you know, especially me coming from a civil rights town in Atlanta, my parents, dad and uncle, you know, that marched with Dr. King. So, you know, this is part of what we're going through. It's bumpy, it's uncomfortable, but it has to be done. And hopefully the American people will wake up and pay attention to the local elections. Yes, the local, the city, county, states, the probate judges, the Superior Court judges, all the things that affect them day to day, and pay very close attention and get behind the person that wants to go serve, that's not tied to a huge special interest group cheering him in the background. And then I think it gets back to us. You know, I always said, you know, earlier, between AOC and Tlaib and all the other folks that we have in there, at some point, the constituents are going to have to stop being dumb and wake up and pay attention to what's going on. And that goes everywhere from our city council to a state house and state senate. And I think the people have got to get more engaged. They got to pay more attention to what's going on and not just like, oh, well, that's what it is. Because, you know, the special interests always want, they always depend on a voter not being engaged so they can have control. And that's the only way, that's the only antidote out of this is we all got to get involved.
You mentioned the lobbyists and the people behind the elected official. I think that's the biggest misnomer, unfortunate peril we face in this constitutional republic. You know, you're running for office. I ran for office twice as a county commissioner here in the county, two consecutive terms. And what I learned was I had the ability to reach out directly to the people. It was the grassroots. That's where I came up with the name of the show. And they voted me in. Because they saw that I was performing, and then they voted me in again because they saw I was performing.
Yeah.
But you know, in the state and national levels, you win Congress at your local district, you go through that door in Congress, and it's like you've been controlled by the puppeteer. The deep state money. Oh, never mind that, Bruce. We're going to steer your vote Thursday at 3 o'clock on this, and this. Never mind that right now. And I think this is the concern that the individuals you just explained are beginning to experience firsthand. They're putting the vote into the hands, voting for someone to do our bidding for us is not working out the way we thought. It's because they're being controlled by that big state. What are the roadblocks for Trump between now and in November?
Well, I think the roadblocks obviously is as you see what's playing in front of you is the lie, cheat, and deceit has been the roadblocks, but they're not permanent blocks. And that's what I tell people. I still believe that there's a reason for this. And I'm very optimistic that we're going to prevail through this. But the great thing about this is what I'm learning is that, you know, we've resurrected a new America First candidate. You know, we're getting them slowly in office. We've got a lot more in office in local school boards, et cetera, around the country than people are talking about. You see in Congress, we got Byron Donalds, good friend of mine. He's America First. You got Wesley Hunt out of Texas, Burgess Owens, you know, you've got Matt Gaetz, love him or whatever you want to say, but, you know, he's part of that America First, you know. So there are a lot of young, and when I say young, young meaning young to Congress, not so much as age, but the ones that are inspired to come want to serve the America First agenda. So you saw that with J.D. Vance up in Ohio, an America First senator. You're seeing these folks get on these ballots that are really, I could list many of them around the country that are, you know, smaller county seats and school board seats and judge seats too. And that, so that's the great thing what's happening out of this. I know media and everybody don't want to talk about that, especially the mainstream media, but that's my hope that I'm seeing, and I'm seeing good people, you know, wanting to jump in and put their name on the ballot. And they said, what are my qualifications? I said, just be ethical. That's all. Just do the right thing. That's the only qualifications you need. There's no speaking well, talking well. There's no, we don't need that. You know, we just be ethical.
What a concept. Just be ethical. You know, one of the things I find most interesting, and I think you alluded to it in one of your interviews, is the why do the Democrats continually push out the narrative that he's a racist? I haven't seen a racist bone in his body.
Yeah. That was the, you know, it's kind of like all the mainstream media. They have a huddle, and they huddle up and say, okay, what's it going to be? Misogynistic? What's it going to be? And they come up with something and they stick to it. By golly, it's the same thing with the birther movement that Hillary came up with. That wasn't Trump. That was Hillary. Hillary started the birther movement on Obama. They twisted around and said, oh, Trump did. It's racist. So, you know, listen, when you control Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, which Jack Dorsey used to own, and thank God for Elon taking it, and MSNBC, CBS, ABC, you know, CNN, you know, when you have that much control coverage, and all the major publications from Houston Chronicles, to AJC, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Tampa Bay Times, you know, Chicago, New York Times, Washington Post, you pretty much control 90% of the noise. You can create your own narrative. And that's one of the harder things that we had to deal with in 15 and 16. And we're still dealing with it. But the great thing about the new technology, like, you know, this podcast, you know, the ways you can get around just being reliant on these particular conglomerates, is people starting to wake up. And that's why you're seeing a surge of 20%+ Black Americans leaning towards Trump. That's why you saw 41% voted for Trump in 2020, the Latino crowd, and many more different cultures that historically hadn't voted Republican. We're starting to see, not to mention the evidence of the checkbook, which is really the telltale, but just the actual other sources of podcasts and news sources and places to get information. And,
So you're seeing a pivot with the African American Democrats that are.
I like to say Black Americans, because most Black Americans don't like the word African American.
Okay, I mean, see,
newsflash. I'll give you that one. I know.
Okay, I'll take it any way I can get it.
They'll tell you, I don't know anybody from Africa. Okay, if it was 8-9 generations ago or 7 generations. So
no, but you do see the Black Americans pivoting, though.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's not an isolated thing. Is it that they've been fed a bad narrative from?
I think a lot of it has to do with, like I said earlier, there's other more means of news source that are being available.
Yeah.
That are, and then you're having some celebs that come out and say something, and they fact check is like, wait a minute, so-and-so says that, he has like millions of followers. So, you know, it helps to have other alternative places of news source. So I think that has a lot to do with it, but most of all, it has a lot to do with gas, inflation, and everything else that motivates people to want to do something different.
Bruce, we're almost out of time, and on the limited time we have, folks, we're talking to Bruce Lavelle, senior advisor to President Donald J. Trump in the 2016, 2020, and now 2024. Used to be a former SBA advocate for the White House. And Bruce, we'd like to have you back where we can follow up on some other things. Your insight on the criminal charges against Donald Trump. I think what the Democrats have finally realized is that he can, I mean, his funding is going up. and Democrats are leaving the party and becoming independent, if not Republican. Yeah. And guys like you are on the sidelines supporting him through thick and thin. Let's close on one thought. What's your role with Donald Trump going forward?
I'm going to remain his friend before and after and during, no matter what. So whatever, I'm still a friend, still call, still, you know, I don't change. I'm one of the guys that likes to preach on loyalty, you know, like my beautiful wife for 32 years that is telling me to hurry up. That's so I can stay married, you know.
So, ditto. 40 years loyalty. For me as well.
Yep, loyalty all the way. Yep.
I agree. Well, we'll cut it off here since you got to go, but I would like to invite you back. We'll keep the door open.
All right.
I really believe there's more narrative to talk about. We can do it as in any format you want. And I do think that the key to the success of Donald Trump is that what he's doing, reaching out to the average citizen and trying to educate them on the truth of the Democrat Party and what all these mechanisms they've tried to conspire in taking him down seem to have failed. I'm glad you stayed at his side.
Amen. Well, thanks for having me, brother. God bless.
Thank you, Bruce Lavelle, former current advisor to President Trump. And we'll be seeing more of him in future episodes coming forward. You've enjoyed another episode of Gene Valentino's Grassroots Truthcast. Thanks again.
Thanks for joining us for Gene Valentino's Grassroots Truthcast. Be sure to like and subscribe, and God bless America.